Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. So what do we make of these two preseason games? I brought on Chuck McKenny of RedsArmy.com to talk about it right now on this Monday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings, when you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time, I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play, when the F's done I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way, Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. I'm John Corrales, I'm your host, and I am here every Monday through Friday. So if you're a new listener here for the first time, welcome aboard. I hope you enjoy this daily podcast. Now, I will say, this week, not going to be Monday through Friday. Still going to do five shows, but it's going to be Monday through Thursday, and then I'm not going to do I'm not going to record on Christmas Eve. So you will not have a Christmas Day podcast, but I will record Friday night after the Christmas Day game between the Celtics and the Nets. So still five podcasts this week, just delaying one. So Christmas Day, you're going to spend it if you're celebrating with your family, with your friends. Then the next day after the game, you'll get a reaction podcast. So still 5 days for me this week. All of you regular listeners, thank you very much. Appreciate you being here on a regular basis and making the show part of your daily routine. So the Celtics have played two preseason games. The last one, last Friday, was just a dumpster fire. So I don't know what to make of this. So I brought in Chuck McKenny of RedsArmy.com. I've kind of gone back to RedsArmy.com now in the interim as I'm moving on to a new thing, a new phase of my career. So I'm still doing the Celtics beat writing, but I'm doing it on RedsArmy.com again for the time being. So I figure, why not? This is a good time to get me and Chuck together to talk about this preseason, to talk about this team, to see where these Celtics are, where they're going. So here's my conversation with Chuck McKenny of RedsArmy.com. Okay, Chuck, back in the saddle. We're like coworkers again.
Crazy, man. Absolutely crazy. I mean, you think of all the nutty stuff that's happened this year. You know what I mean? It's just like from impeachment, which seems like 10 years ago, to COVID and all the wild ride that COVID's been and everything. And you know, we're wrapping up the year with, oh, Red's Army has a beat writer now for the Celtics. Like, John's back and, you know, and I don't know, it really hit me this morning when I was looking over stuff to do the morning dump, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, you know, John wrote all this stuff that's already published on our site. Like, this defeats the purpose. What am I going to do? Like, say, look at this article that John wrote yesterday and look at this article that John wrote yesterday. I mean, what's the point?
Right.
I mean, I love it, but you're screwing with my mojo. You
know, got to get everybody else to be, you know, pumping out that content on other. I know that the one of the mass live things is that, like, you just put everything out separately. And so that was perfect for, you know, morning dump on Red's Army stuff, because you get like 3-4 articles to choose from, different topics that you can break out. Now I'm doing that on Red's Army and you're like, oh, well, okay. So interesting, yeah. Side effect. I mean,
it goes against the decade, you know, a decade's worth of a workflow, and you come in and you just blow it up. And I'm just like, what the hell? So I didn't post anything. I was looking around, nobody else. So it's fine, man. You know what? I think this is a lot of fun. You're doing your thing, and we're pushing out a lot of stuff, and I think it'll be great. It's just a matter of time before somebody plucks you, you know, from us again.
So we'll see. I feel like this is like a kind of like a Van Halen reunion tour or something like that, one of the Rolling Stones reunion tour where everybody's like old, but they're still pumping out the hits. All right, sure.
Well, I am wearing spandex. You just can't see it.
So, all right. I haven't done a podcast since that last preseason game. No one really wants to talk about that slop fest. That was just disgusting. My take is simply that I don't think they cared very much about that game. I don't think they cared to go out and try very hard. They've been working hard in practice. Short turnaround has been an issue. I don't think going out there and busting their asses is a priority for the players. I'm sure Brad Stevens is sitting there like, can we do something? But I don't know what I can take out of this game, because frankly, like I watched Jaylen Brown run out and do this big, like almost exaggerated jump in front of I forget if it was Kevin Durant or whomever, but like not being low to the ground, not being kind of disciplined. He just runs out and jumps in front of him and then gets blown by over and over and over again. Like, I don't think he gave a shit about playing any defense. I don't think they cared. So I don't know what to make of that game. I don't know what to take out of that game.
Yeah, I mean, I take nothing on the Celtics side. I refuse to pretty much acknowledge it. It was, you know, I enjoyed seeing Durant back doing his thing, right? Like, he looked good, even though the Celtics were, it came at the Celtics' expense, and Boston's defensive, you know, resistance was minimal. But, you know, part of me was wondering how he'd look. And I thought he looked smooth and he looked like, you know, the old Durant for the most part. But on the Celtics side, like, I didn't, you know, and I think for me, I don't have any concerns about, you know, about Tatum and Brown. And for the most part, the veterans, you know, guys like Tice and Marcus, I think they're going to be fine when the season starts. So I'm less concerned about shooting percentages and defensive intensity from those guys. But I know, I think Brad hit on it. He's like, you know, we're still supposed to be, you know, your approach in a preseason game should be, you know, for the 20 minutes I'm out there, or I'm going to be, you know, my effort and my intensity is going to be there for 12 minutes. And I felt like we never really even saw that.
Right.
So I could see why, you know, Brad was a little pissed off about that. But I think I'm not worried about those guys kind of regrouping when the season starts. I think for me, it's just the larger sort of roster. You know, I think there are too many questions with the rotation, whether, you know, we know Kemba isn't starting the season. It seems like Thompson has made up some ground. But who's starting and who's Brad going to off the bench? And those are the questions that bother me, like that I'm more concerned about. Which role players are going to be called upon to step up? You know, can we lean on one rookie for, you know, that's the sort of thing that I'm really worried about.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. Like, so they threw Javonte Green in there as the starter for the first two preseason games, which was an interesting move. I wasn't sure if they would, you know, a lot of us have been talking about like, well, I think Grant Williams seems to be like the smart choice for that. He can go out there, he can set the picks, he can run these plays, and you know, you need a guy out there that's not going to do too much and help accentuate Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. I don't know, like, I guess the thought with Javonte is, you know, energy and all of that stuff. And I guess it just depends on a matchup thing. When Brad Stevens said after the first game, or before the first game, we're going to rotate that spot. I guess it just depends on who he thinks matches up best against the other team's starting five. So if the other team, like Milwaukee, if they start with a bigger front court, then maybe you do start Grant Williams. And if Brooklyn, you get up against Brooklyn again next week, you got to start Javonte because you need more help at the wing. You need somebody who can switch a little bit better. So, but back to the effort thing, having guys out there that aren't trying very hard kind of screws over Javonte, screws over, you know, Robert Williams, because if those guys aren't trying very hard, if the other guys, I'm sorry, like the main guys aren't trying very hard, then Robert Williams is behind him trying to make up for mistakes. And that's not going to put him in a good position. You know, he needs everybody working together so they can take some of the pressure off of him. So I feel like the Celtics need so many guys to be ready. When they come out and put out such a crappy effort, it really hinders the development of these other guys, these younger guys, who need to go out there and be ready. So that, if my biggest, one of my biggest takeaways is that I think they, by screwing around, they've wasted time. And if, like, Celtics fans, I don't think should be upset about the result, but I can see people say, you know, you've been wasting time out there. Every minute counts right now. And every minute that you don't try is time that could have been spent moving forward with the team's progression and development. And you need to move forward very quickly. Chuck and I are back to continue our conversation in just a moment. But first, are you ready for some football? College football heads into bowl season, and there are some big matchups this weekend. NFL regular season is finishing up, and the playoff picture is becoming clearer, and we know this, it does not involve the New England Patriots. There is only one place that has you covered, and one place that we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. Whatever you deposit, they'll give you a bonus of half of that amount. So you cannot lose. It's like you're winning right away by signing up for betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to do that. I know it was a big weekend in the NFL. The Patriots were eliminated officially, but we now see the top of these standings here. We saw Kansas City win again. Mahomes is a maniac, and you're going to want to lay some money down, maybe on the Chiefs. Maybe are you feeling brave about the Buffalo Bills? Maybe you could throw some money down on that. Maybe you're not going to throw any money down on whoever comes out of the NFC East. We know that much. So a lot to talk about when it comes to the NFL and betting. Make sure you're also checking out the new Locked On Bets podcast in partnership with betonline.ag. But go to betonline.ag right now. Don't be on the sidelines anymore and use that promo code Locked On. Again, you win right away with that promo code because they're going to give you a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. So make it a good one. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. This episode is also brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced uniquely beautiful commitment rings, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. And when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It is a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it has been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're making 2021 plans or looking for a unique and meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. I mentioned it before when talking about BetOnline AG, but betting the Celtics and the NBA doesn't have to be a guessing game anymore if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast. It's hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag wherever you get podcasts. And now, more of my conversation with Chuck McKinney of RedsArmy.com.
Yeah, that's a great point, right? I mean, the preseason is condensed into two games, right? It's not like you say we have six games and you can screw around for three and then start to get serious. And then especially with, you know, like you said, whether it's Rob or Javante, you know, if, you know, Tatum, Brown, and Smart are at their best, then those guys have a better sense of their role. So I think that's, you know, that's a good point. And I guess I'm just hopeful that they can kind of work those things out and continue, you know, in practice and continue to figure it out. Are you convinced? So is it set that Marcus is going to be starting point guard?
I think so. I think that's set. I know people have brought up Jeff Teague starting, which I haven't really liked much. So it's funny. I was talking to Chris Grenham. I was at the game on Friday talking to Chris Grenham. And I turn around and I say, man, I just think Jeff Teague sucks. And as I say that, Tom Westerholm tweets out, Jeff Teague has been the best Celtic this preseason. And then Mark Murphy turns around and says, where would they be without Jeff Teague right now? And I was like, am I the only one who thinks that he's not great? What I think is that Jeff Teague has actually been trying, and it stands out in stark contrast to a team full of people who have not been trying. So Teague can look good by comparison, but I think in general, defensively, I look at Jeff Teague and I'm like, whoa, man, that's problematic to me. But he can hit some shots. So in relation to Marcus Smart, is it better to have someone else handle the point guard duties on the second unit and you start Jeff Teague and you just have him as more of a shooting guard? Or does Jeff Teague run the point and Marcus Smart play off the ball like he's used to like he's been used to playing when he's with Kemba? I don't know, man. I'm kind of at this point, I can't shoot down anything because they have to try all of their combinations. But I think Marcus Smart starting is the way to go. You need that continuity and somebody to feed Tatum and Brown and get those plays set up and to anchor a defense. Because if you have Teague starting at the point and Marcus coming off the bench, then you're going to have a real problem with Teague getting, you know, blown by, and you know, now you're giving up points in the paint. You're putting Tristan Thompson, Daniel Tice into foul trouble. You're getting into the bonus early. I just don't like setting a tone for a game like that.
Yeah, and I think I like Teague. I've always liked him, and I've just, you know, he's almost the anti-Wanamaker. I think he's going to be erratic on defense where Brad was always steady, but I feel like offensively he's going to be capable of having some bursts. Yeah. Where he can score a few buckets. He had that 18 points against Philly. And yeah. I don't know if he was like 7 for 8 or 8 for 8 or something like that. And for me, you know, I think it'll be a good effort from him when we can get 10 to 12 points, you know, when Kemba's back and everything kind of settles in. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm willing to sacrifice some defense. But I do think you're right with, you know, I've always loved Smart as the playmaker. You know, he can really be. I mean, I think it's warranted that we focus on his defense because it's elite, and then we tend to focus on his shooting because it can be erratic. But Smart, the playmaker, is a hell of a, you know, he's a hell. He's fun to watch. He can make some great passes, whether it's those, you know, some of those pocket passes in the paint to Tice or throwing lobs. So I think he's great. And then, you know, when you look at the schedule, first four games, you know, you're going up against, it'll be Holiday, Kyrie, and, you know, I don't know who, Oladipo for Indiana. So there are some guards there that are going to need some defensive attention. And I think you'd want Smart to be, like you said, kind of anchoring them, because when that point is out of sorts, then all the rotations fall apart. And then coming off a kind of a lackadaisical preseason, that's the last thing we want, is worrying about loose rotations. Defensive rotations, you know, the first, you know, week of the season.
Yeah. This brings me into what Brad Stevens said on Saturday, which was basically, it was a very Bill Belichick, do your job kind of message to the team. And, you know, when I asked Grant Williams, how was that message conveyed? He was like, it was conveyed directly. There's no doubt about that. So I have a feeling that it was strongly worded. And people think like, people think because Brad Stevens is one way with the media that he's that way with the team. And I'm pretty sure that he's not just, you know, with the media, he's very even keeled. And, you know, before the games start in, you know, in the locker rooms, when he's giving that little speech, it's very even keeled. But at practices, when you're watching film, like you do have to match some of the energy that the players give. And I'm sure it was pretty directly relayed. Do your jobs. So in relation to Marcus Smart, what's Marcus Smart's jobs? What are his best skills? Defense, number one. Playmaking, number two. Shooting comes in third. So when he's out there, when I saw him with the quick trigger jumpers, like that, if there's any criticism you can have of Marcus Smart, those, I'd like to have like two of those jumpers be drives. You know, like if Marcus Smart can take, and I don't care that he shoots six threes a game, that doesn't bother me. If they're all good shots, like, okay, one of them's going to be a heat check. That's always going to be the case. Fine. But Marcus, you are an elite passer. By the time someone drives and kicks it out to you, then you should drive again, a second drive, and see what you can do. Because the Celtics need Marcus Smart to be a scorer. Why not drive and get a layup and see if you can get a three-point play rather than just jack up a three-pointer? Because if you get the three-point play, you've drawn a foul, you've put them one foul closer to the penalty, you're helping your teammates in that regard, you're resting, you're getting people rest by getting to the free throw line. So all of these little things, they add up. So when I'm looking at Marcus Smart, I really just want just a couple of those three-pointers to become drives. And if he ends up driving and dishing and relocating and then catching and shooting, fine. But like, you don't have to do that at 18 seconds on the shot clock. Just work it a little bit. Just work it a little bit and take that shot with 8 seconds on the shot clock. We'll be back to wrap up the show with Chuck in just a minute. Grab a Built Bar because that's going to help power you through the rest of this podcast. It is a delicious protein bar that I've been telling you about for months. I love them. I buy them. I buy them with my own money. That's how much I stand by a Built Bar. 18 amazing flavors. They've come in nuts or without nuts. If you've got a nut allergy, they're covered in 100% chocolate. Great if you're health conscious. Great if you're looking to lose or maintain weight while still indulging a little bit. They are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. If you're on a keto diet, this works perfectly. Some of these flavors deliver amazing numbers. Peanut butter, 19 grams of protein, 180 calories. Coconut almond, 180 calories, 18 grams of protein. Cherry Barcia, 17 grams of protein, 130 calories. Same thing with cookies and cream, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs. How can you beat that in a protein bar? Check them out for yourself. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at LOCKEDON Celtics on Instagram. Hey, if you want to get basketball smart, it starts with listening to the Hollinger and Duncan podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. NBA analytics pioneer and front office insider John Hollinger joins Dunked On podcast host Nate Duncan to bring you scouting reports, game breakdowns, and salary cap analysis. Subscribe to Hollinger and Duncan today wherever you get podcasts. And now, here's the rest of my conversation with Chuck McKenney of RedsArmy.com.
That's what I was going to say. It's the early in the shot clock threes that drive me bananas, right? You know, whether it's, you know, 20 seconds or 18. And you're right, because what you want out of just about every possession is Tatum and or Brown to get touches. right?
Right.
Not saying they have to get their shots, but to be a threat. So for Smart to take those shots so early in the clock, I just don't think it's just not smart basketball. Get in the lane, make the defense rotate, you kick it around, and then you might get one of those guys an open look. So I agree with you. I just don't know if we're ever going to – I mean, we see it from him sometimes, but it's just definitely the most maddening part of his game. And I'm not sure with Kemba out that we're going to see some sort of – he might feel the need to say, I got to make up for, Kemba's 20 points. And that's not going to be a good thing, right? We don't want him to have that mindset.
No.
Because most of the time it's not going to work out for the benefit of the offense.
And we know that he knows he needs to make up for some. Like, yes, Marcus Smart, we do need you to make up for some of the offense. But you can do it in the process of doing what you do best. So when Marcus Smart drives, I feel comfortable. I feel comfortable he's going to find guys. I feel comfortable he's going to make passes. He makes like behind the back bounce passes in the lane. He's ridiculous with these passes. So, but you're right. The finding Tatum, finding Brown are priorities on every possession. One of those guys on every possession, because of the gravity, because of the reaction that they draw from defenses, find a way to get the ball in their hands. And even if it's just a catch, dribble, move the ball, just them touching the ball draws people to have these reactions and sometimes overreactions. And if the defense reacts to one guy with the ball and they see, oh, it's Tatum. Oh, okay. I got to take an extra step. Then Tatum, like when Brad Stevens says, make the next right play, Tatum just drawing a guy one extra step, moving the ball quickly, decisively, back to Marcus Smart or swinging it back around. You bend the defense and you get yourself easier baskets. I love that Marcus Smart is confident, but it's a blessing and a curse with him because he's wide open. And for every 0-for-6 or 1-for-7 game, there's going to be a 5-for-6 or 6-for-7 game, or one of those like crazy nights where he set the record and hit what it was 11 threes. Like he's going to have those nights too. So when you say like in the aggregate, it's going to be fine, but like I'd like it to be a little bit more consistent with him, because if he's doing that and if they're getting Tatum and Brown the touches, there's more opportunity for Tatum and Brown to do what they do best. And then, and this, again, Brad Stevens talking about doing your job. Then Daniel Tice can go set a pick or run that seal play. Or Grant Williams can set like a pin down for Jaylen Brown to curl up and catch the ball and catch and shoot. Like, if one guy is trying to do too much, then it throws the whole thing out of whack. And this season, everything just needs to be more precise is basically what it boils down to.
Just to follow up on that, right? So I think, oftentimes we say the great players give the game what it needs, right?
It's yes. Like,
my team, it's, moving the ball, feeding the right guys or making the defensive play. I think with guys, with Kemba, it was more about getting his other teammates involved because he knew he could get his shot whenever he needed it, right? So if we want Marcus to play the way you described with kind of like the starting group, is it fair to ask Smart to be almost a different sort of player when he's out there with Teague and maybe Nesmith or, Rob Williams, where we want him to be more of an offensive player? Is it fair for him to say, we need you to be a little more, pass the ball a bit more when you're with these guys?
Sure.
And then when you're with the second unit guys, then you can get your shots. Can Marcus make that sort of switch?
I think so. I mean, I think he, you look around at your personnel and you say, all right, I probably have to take more of the shots. But at the same time, like you said, give the game what it needs. The game will kind of tell you. if he's out there with four bench guys, then Marcus Smart is, his IQ is high enough to understand, like, okay, who's on the floor with me? I got these guys, they're shooters. Everybody here is a shooter. Neesmith's a shooter. Teague can be a shooter. If somebody focuses too much on me, if the defense focuses too much on me, then I can just, what I'm going to do is I'm put my head down and drive and really force the defense to suck in, and then I'm just going to fire it out for corner threes. But yeah, he might feel like, okay, I need to handle more of the offense, and his confidence might get to a point where it's like, hey, I've got the open three. We're never going to get a three this wide open, and it is 18 seconds on the shot clock. Like, that's their response. You're going to sit there and you're going to say, look at me. I've got the ball. I'm a 36% three-point shooter now, 35% three-point shooter now. I have, you know, the numbers tell me if I take this shot with confidence, there's a good chance that it's going to result in an efficient possession for the Celtics. And so much of what we say, so much of everything we've been talking about now for 20 minutes is rooted in maybe a little bit of older thinking. But these guys will sit there and be like, look, I know you don't like us firing three-pointers all the time, but if we take 100 three-pointers and, you know, go 35 for 100, that's good. We've scored ourselves plenty of points because you throw in other stuff. Like, that's, they're gonna feel good about that result. And we're gonna sit there and be like, you took 100 three-pointers? What are you, nuts? You only hit 35? And they're gonna be like, yeah, well, you know, that's a lot of points that we just put on the board, you know? So I don't know. I go back and forth. I still feel like a lot of the shots that Marcus Smart takes are shots that he can get. And yeah, it's a wide open shot. And maybe when he's there with bench units, he might be more willing to take that shot. But I'll always say that shot, that wide open, fine. That's fine at 18 seconds. But you can get that type of shot. You can work the ball around and probe to see if a better shot is there. Because what's the other side effect here, Chuck? You come down, one pass, chuck a three, and the defense is doing what? Standing there. No effort expended by the defense. And when they come down, that means the other team is just that much more energized on offense. You just defended. Now you come down, you shoot a shot, you go back. It's like, you know, football. Like, great, you just returned a kickoff for a touchdown, but now your defense is still tired. Like, it's, you know, I'd like to see them make defenses work a little bit more. Get those guys tired. Make them more prone to foul. Make them more prone to slip up and give up layups. I'd rather have a layup than a three-pointer. You know, let's work this stuff a little bit and make all of these little tiny things happen. And if you have to shoot a three-pointer with 4 or 5 or 6 seconds on the shot clock, fine.
Yeah, I mean, but that mentality can also apply to Brown and Tatum. You know what I mean? I think you don't want, I mean, and they're even better shooters than Smart, right? But you don't, you know, I think there's more to it than just, you know, getting an open or, you know, semi-contested three-pointer with 18 seconds on the shot clock every possession, right? I think, you know, and I think it was something that I, you know, at the end of, I think it was the Miami series, the playoff series, and, you know, Tatum took a couple shots at the end of the game where he wasn't driving. He was more or less just dribbling and pulling up and shooting those, you know, 25, 26 footers.
Yeah.
And people were like, you know, well, he can make that shot. I'm like, yes, he can make that shot at a certain percentage, right? But still, there are other options available at the time that could yield better results.
Right.
So I think you all focus on, well, you know, the numbers tell me that if we shoot this amount of threes and we make this amount of threes and you're open, you shoot this percentage, that's the formula. Everybody can work to that. But there are certain possessions or moments or times in the game when I think there are alternatives.
Yeah.
And there's that sort of intangible part of it where when guys are just coming up getting, hey, I got the shot. Brad said I can take the shot. The numbers prove I can take it. And you know what then Jalen says, well, I'm taking it. And then, you know, then it turns into this sort of hero ball thing where, well, right, we're all taking the shots we're supposed to take.
Right.
That's not the offense we're looking for, right? So I think it's not that clear cut. You want guys to have feel for a game. But just to go back to Tatum, I mean, we're expecting him to have a higher sort of usage rate, right? Like he's going to have the ball a lot more, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we're
fair expectation.
I mean, I think we want to see it from him. And that's, you know, so I think that should lend to less smart three-pointers with 18 seconds on the clock, even if he's open, because, hey, you have kind of like a top 10 player now. Get him the ball every possession, and then we'll see what happens.
And the other thing is, yes, get him the ball every possession, but also get him the ball on the move every possession, like, or as many possessions as possible, because if you just throw it to him and he stands there and holds it and does the James Harden, you know, metronome dribble between his legs, like, okay, that's fine. And, you know, maybe more often than not, that's going to result in some points. But, like, why not move the ball, make a couple of passes, have Tatum coming off of some action, catching the ball on the move, and then either switches have resulted in a mismatch or cross matches have resulted in a mismatch, or at least he can just catch the ball while moving in a certain direction and then change directions to bust the defender and get to the rim, rather than just always seemingly trying to catch it and make his own individual move. Like, they need to start really focusing on him and Jaylen Brown getting the ball on the move and then creating off of that, because that's really a lot of times where an offensive player has that advantage. You're already moving, you're coming off the left wing, you're catching the ball down, you know, towards the middle, and that defender has to, like, you know which way you're going to go before the defender does. So when you stop and cross over, the defender has to react to your crossover. And by that time, you're by him. So I want to just see more of that stuff. I think sometimes the Celtics offense, at least what we've seen so far this preseason, which has been terrible, so often is just like, okay, here you go, Tatum. And like, I understand, like, you want to chase whatever mismatch you have on the floor, but like, just because there's a mismatch on the floor doesn't mean you always have to, like, stop, like, basically hand him the ball, let me run over here and get out of the way, and you guys play one-on-one. Like, that's not always how it's got to be. You can work that mismatch another way.
I feel like as long as Stevens is the coach, I think he's going to be preaching that. I don't know if it always materializes, but that seems to be my sense of what Brad wants. He's always preaching the movement. Now, you know, Tatum is ascending, but you know, we have guys who are capable of going one-on-one, whether it was, you know, Kyrie in 2018 or, you know, Kemba last year. So I get the sense that, you know, that Brad is always pushing that, always sort of beating that drum. And sometimes it leads to the semi Ojeley three-pointer that makes me, you know, pull my hair out, where I'm like, why is Ojeley shooting when Tatum and Brown are on the court? But it's because of what you said. You know, they've either made a move, created an opening for another player, and then he's told to take that shot. So I feel like that's what Brad is always pushing. And I guess for me, it's just more about the situation. It's when, you know, when I want Tatum taking the shot over passing to an open Ojeley, are we trying to stop a 10-2 run? Are we trying to, you know, is it in the fourth quarter where every possession matters? It's like those moments where you have to pick and choose. Okay, the ball moving thing is cool, but now, you know.
Sure.
Right? So I think it's a fine line. And I think that's, you know, as Tatum and Brown ascend, that those are things they also have to figure out, you know, when they're doing what, you know,
right.
What I mean?
Right. Right. Yeah. Because that's, you know, sometimes you have to be the decoy. Sometimes you have to be the, you know, the one that is taking over. So let's wrap it up here by just, I feel like there's so little that we can take out of this preseason. Kemba's hurt. We haven't seen Tristan Thompson. We expect Romeo Langford to play some sort of role on this team, and he's not going to be back until halfway through the season. I see you rolling your eyes here. Do you not expect Romeo Langford to play any sort of role on this team?
I mean, I think we need him to, and the fact that we need him to just troubles me. I'm until he proves to me that he can make it through seasons without, you know, repeated injuries. There was always something with him. And, you know, I'm not super happy that there isn't a veteran wing on this roster at the start of the season. You know, I feel like it's a shorter season. I know you need to get guys healthy. I hear you. But I think the East in that top six is going to be pretty tight. And my preference is to kind of have home court. And I know you watched the game in an empty garden. I don't know if home court is going to matter, you know, where we're going to be in 4 months.
Right.
You know,
that's the question.
Some fans in the stands now. So maybe home court is less of an issue. But for me, I just don't want to throw away games in the first month, you know, and to see the lack of the wing depth, you know, it just doesn't sit well with me. I would have liked to have Danny bring in somebody. I don't know, right? I mean, I know the names that are out there. It's like Gerald Green is out there. but it just bothers me that I'd like to have somebody who has a little bit more, who can score, who knows how to score.
Yeah. This is where I think the short turnaround really, really did screw the Celtics over. Like the Celtics are one of, if not the most impacted teams by this short turnaround. You have a plan for strengthening Kemba's knee that would have put him into January when they were talking about the season starting. And now all of a sudden they said, oh, nope, December 22nd, which means that now he's missing games. So this plan went from easing him into the season, maybe a minutes restriction to start the season, but like not missing any or much time to all of a sudden missing a month. So that hurt. The Gordon Hayward situation, the condensed free agency, still not 100% clear on how all of that went down, but this whole, the extension of the opt-out made it seem like there was some possibilities here. But meanwhile, free agency started. It had to start. It had to go quickly. And players are going off the board. They're gone. And there's nothing the Celtics could do while they're trying to accomplish one of two goals. Keep Gordon Hayward, because I think as we've seen in the first couple of games, having Gordon Hayward out there would have been pretty helpful. Now, I know he just broke another finger, so I don't know. I don't know what to say about that, but having Hayward out there and playing would have been very helpful to have another guy that could handle those duties. But while Danny Ainge is trying to do that, guys are flying off the board. So now the best thing he could do is get a traded player exception. So we go into a situation, like you said, that's not ideal, without a veteran wing that the Celtics could use. But the best case scenario now is somewhere between when guys are eligible to be traded and the trade deadline that Danny Ainge can actually bring somebody in. And so we're talking all of this time knowing that this is an incomplete team. No Kemba, no Tristan, no TPE guy, no real clue if any of these rookies are going to be any sort of contributors.
But he has to. It's mandatory that Ainge makes a move by the trade deadline.
Whether it's somebody
who makes $5 million, $8 million, or somebody who makes 18,
like 18 or 19. Yeah, yeah.
He has to add somebody.
Yeah, he does. Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
Unless this team is like, you know, 38-2 at the trade deadline, and it looks like the rookies are just real players. But come on, I mean. Because if he doesn't, not only will talk radio and Twitter just be on fire, But there's limited time to take advantage of the TPE in free agency, right?
Right.
Like, the way it's structured, the deadline is the time to use it.
Right. Basically, the best case scenario for Danny Ainge to use that is to use a portion of it. And for people listening, because the Celtics are hard capped, they can't use all of it. They have about $20 million or so. They can go up to about $20 million or so. They can start like really moving, but they'd have to start moving like Daniel Tice. They'll have to start moving like really important players. So it would have to be like a huge player to get in that traded player exception. So basically, they have to use up to like $18 or $19 million, which gets, there's plenty of guys in that range. And then the rest they can use over the summer because you can split it up. So if you use $18 million, they could still use another $10 million over the summer to maybe trade for another smaller contract that can help. Absolutely. If Danny Ainge doesn't bring somebody in by the trade deadline with this thing, then that becomes problematic because I don't know. I don't know. Things always change, but I don't see what that next step is. Like, you need help now, and there's probably help out there. So somewhere between now and that March 25th trade deadline, there somebody within that range has to become available, and Danny Ainge has to make a swing for that.
Yeah, and I don't want to, you know, even if Langford comes back and Walker comes back, they're all healthy, they're all contributing above and beyond our expectations. You know, that's a card that he has to play, and you need to find that player and then figure out how to assimilate him into the team. I don't want to hear this, well, the guys we have, because he's wasting a blank check, right? It's like, right, you can't waste that sort of asset. And then you figure out, it may be a little tricky to fit that player in during the season, but that's Brad's challenge. And then you know, maybe you can move guys at the end of the year. So, you know, I think it's far-fetched to think that's highly unlikely that, you know, that'll be Ainge's reason. You know, maybe
no, there's no way he can sit there and say, I like this group. You can't. You can't. Look, like I like Javonte Green. But he's got a non-guaranteed contract. He can go. Carson Edwards, I'm sorry, not an NBA player right now. Just absolutely in no way is he an NBA player right now. Find a way to clear him. See if you can trade him somewhere, or as part of the traded player exception, make it so there's a separate deal where they take Carson Edwards back or something. But they have players like Semi Ojeleye is expendable. There are players on this roster, plenty of them, that are expendable that I don't know how. They have to get creative so it doesn't become a cap hit, but they can find a way to make those players go away and fit a good player in with the traded player exception and move on. Like, those guys, everybody that I mentioned, can go have a very nice European career where you make millions upon millions of dollars and you get to sip cappuccino in some cafe in Barcelona or Madrid or Rome. It's a wonderful existence. Trust me, you'll love it. But it's just not going to work here.
Yeah, I just think I'm conditioned to accept the lack of movement at the trade deadline. Generally, there's a lot of smoke. There's very little fire. We're used to Ainge just saying there are, you know, deals, there were guys we liked. But I think this is the year, knock on, you know, wood, that it's going to happen. That something has to happen.
He has to.
Right? It's just too much, you know, because it's not like it's cap space where he can carry it over for two more seasons. There's a window on this sort of cap space, this option, this,
right,
and he has to use it. And I, like you said, I'm confident he will. It's just a matter of, you know, who's it going to be, and how they fit. So I think that'll be exciting. And I just hope we're not too, you know, I'm really worried about struggling out of the gate and being a 500 team for you know, a certain stretch of time.
Right.
And I just don't want to fall too far behind and then, you know, just have it affect chemistry and guys start to do too much and what have you. I don't know. I mean, what can we expect from Walker? I think we're supposed to be wrapping this up, but you know, I'm a little concerned about Kemba. I just, you know, I don't know. I think it's not for me. It's like you have a torn ACL and you're coming back and you're all set. And, you know, but when you have these sort of knee injuries that are a little bit more mysterious that require stem cell injections, and if there seems to be the word arthritis in the mix, you just never know.
Right.
What he's going to be like. So maybe I'm a little overly concerned about him, but we need him. We need him to be as good as he was last year.
Yeah, no, certainly do. And I think, so there's this competing thought, like healthy Celtics probably feel like they can do pretty well against anybody, right? Like the priority is, if you're not healthy, you're not going to win. So the priority is health. So you get Kemba back, you make sure you take all the steps necessary to get Kemba back to being Kemba, because not only do you need him, you're paying him a ton of money. You want to have some return on that investment. If he can live up to what you're paying him and what you expected when you paid him, then you're fine, because now Kemba, it was an all-star last year. We forget, I think, sometimes Kemba Walker was an all-star and a deserving all-star last year. If we can get him back to that level, then that alleviates so much pressure. Think about the trickle-down effect. Kemba draws attention, which means Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have less attention on them. You have to now, you get back into pick your poison territory. Marcus Smart moves back potentially into either a backup role. If Danny Ainge is able to get a player that can start, a starter quality player, so you now have Kemba, Tatum, Brown, Player X, and Daniel Tice / Tristan Thompson, however that shakes out, and Marcus Smart is your backup point guard, now you got something. Because now Tice and Thompson, whichever one ends up on the bench, now potentially when they're fully healthy, you've got Romeo Langford hopefully giving you something off the bench. Maybe Aaron Nesmith can be at least a reliable shooter off the bench. Maybe you've got something there. And now we're talking about, we're to the eighth and ninth man. That's it. That's your NBA rotation.
Yeah.
So this Celtics team heading into the season is so many question marks. It's like the Riddler costume in the Batman, like with all the question marks all over the suit. Like, that's the Celtics. It's a green suit with a bunch of question marks. That's the Celtics right now. But there's the wild swings of, if best case scenario is legitimately a finals contender. Like, Kemba is Kemba. Tatum takes a step forward. Brown takes a step forward. Tristan Thompson becomes something good, like really helps out. Danny uses the TPE to get somebody that's really a good starter level guy. The bench now solidifies because Marcus Smart goes and anchors that unit, and a couple of guys prove that they're good shooters. And really, you're not playing full bench units anyway. That team now becomes super, super dangerous. But the flip side of that is, Kemba's knee kind of never really heals, and he's kind of like mediocre, or he's good, but not Kemba. So now you've got another $30 plus million guy who's been hurt and not living up to that contract. So now you've got to figure out what to do with that. That puts too much pressure on Tatum and Brown, too much defensive attention on those guys, stunts their growth a little bit. Danny Ainge whiffs on the TPE and has to carry that into free agency. And what does that team do? That team is what, a fourth or fifth seed at best? And now your first round matchup is what, against Miami? And then you've got to face Philly, Brooklyn, Milwaukee? Like, that's your playoff road? That team's not going anywhere.
So you're basically saying we can eat. On one hand, behind door number one is a finals appearance.
Right. Celtics, Lakers,
Behind door number two is a six seed first round exit. Basically. And I think both are legit options.
You're right.
Like,
right.
There are two paths here.
Both plausible.
Right? So it should be a fun season.
Look, if the basketball gods have any say, before LeBron falls off a cliff, Celtics, Lakers to break the tie is like, we can go into the, like, oh no, it's really 12 titles or whatever, but whatever. You want to say 17 time and 17 time world champs? This is it. Tatum takes that. If the basketball gods and anybody from a small market listening to this thinks this is the most arrogant take possible, but if the basketball gods have anything to say about this, you've got this one window. LeBron is at, like, it's uncanny how much he's been able to hold on to his superstardom, but one last time, this is like the last probably good season, you'd think. Give Tatum that leap. Give Kemba that boost. Have those stem cells work and have Celtics, Lakers to break the tie right now with LeBron on that team.
Yeah.
That's the way it's supposed to go, given NBA history.
Yeah, you say basketball gods, but there's also another way, and it's Adam Silver typing up a memo. Scott Foster right now. Make sure this happens. This message will self-destruct in 60 seconds, but these need to be my team in the finals. I'm kidding. Of course I'm kidding. NBA officiating is on the up and up.
Oh, God. All right. That's where I'm going to end the podcast. That's officially where I'm ending this podcast. So, all right, Chuck. Thanks for hopping on for way too long.
Anytime, man. Anytime.
Well, you can tell me what you think. You can follow me on Twitter, RedsArmy_John. And Chuck is RedsArmy_Chuck. So that's where we got our Twitter names from, the site, RedsArmy.com, that we created, when was that? 2006? 14 years ago? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That was a great conversation. It's always fun to talk to Chuck. Hope you enjoyed it. If you're a new listener, hope you enjoyed it enough to subscribe. You can get it wherever podcasts exist. You can get it right to your device every week, Monday through Friday, generally. Again, this week, a little different. I'm not going to put out a podcast for Friday, Christmas Day. I'm going to record one Friday after the game to give you one on Saturday. So if you subscribe, you'll get it directly to your device. You regular listeners, thank you very much for subscribing, for rating and reviewing and making this the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world. Thank you all for checking out my book. If you haven't bought it yet, it's the Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, the best players at each position for the C's. It's out now. You won't get it in time for Christmas anymore, but you can still buy it for yourself, and it'll come. Make it a New Year's gift or whatever. Just buy it, please. I appreciate that very much. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.